Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining the session. My name's Simon Terry, and I'll be presenting today along with Kai Kaya from Swoop Analytics. What we want to do in this session is walk you through our experience of working with organizations that are seeking to get value from Yammer. And what we want to do is share with you some of the lessons and some of the highlights from that experience. A little bit about my background. I first got involved with Yammer back in May 2009 when I received an email as a general manager of a large Australian bank inviting me to join a Yammer network. It was a viral one. It was unsupported by the organization's technology at that time. And I took a look at Yammer and I thought, this is something that needs to be fostered and developed in our organization. I could see the potential of the value that could be created in our organization if we took that network and we connected it to organizational strategy. In that video, which is available on Yammer and various sites and on my blog, we talked about that journey of growing that first network. But since that time, I've been working with change agents worldwide, a global network of future of work professionals that help organizations implement collaboration in organizations. And I'll be sharing some case studies today from that from their experience as well. If we start where I think we should all start, which is talking about how value gets created in collaboration networks. This is the model that I developed as a result of my experience in NAB. And essentially what it does is it recognizes that to get to the value organizations seek around working in different ways and creating new innovative solutions, we need to help our users to make sense of the Yammer network. And I've seen this implemented since in many organizations where they take this model and they're able both to define the strategic rationale for the use of Yammer and also the rationale for an individual user. So the way it works is we need to start with connection. If we don't have people engaged in the right groups, in the right purposes, in the network, they're not going to find their way to anything of value. We then start to think about how they share information. What information do users want to share with each other? It's important here we're thinking about that two-way conversation and bringing people together in starting to have dynamic conversations across the network. So a traditional question you'll see in this phase is people saying, what's the policy on this? Where do I get information on the following? People are starting to explore sharing as an activity. The next step of the model is when work starts to happen in the network. People see your Yammer network as a place to solve their business problems. How do I do this? Can anyone help me with this problem? How do I get a solution to this? And finally, you move into the territory of what if, where people see it as an opportunity to experiment, to innovate, and to bring new ideas to life for customers, for employees, and for the organization. And what you experience along that journey is a growing sense in the community of what the opportunities are with Yammer. There's role modeling going on, it's increasing, people can see things and they want to copy them. That you see growing trust as people start to understand the network and its relationships. And importantly, you see a rising sense of value. So we can actually take that thinking about value in that way of connect, share, solve and innovate down to an individual message. And what I'd want to share with you for a second is a video.
Many people want to understand the value of Yammer. Let's look at a typical message to break this down. The first value is that social networks enable us to connect with people through their profiles, through their interests, and even to reach out through a simple like. The second source of value is when people share, making their work more visible, and when that work is reshared through topics, emails, or other groups. Business value really accelerates when employees can trust a network to solve their problems, whether through replies or gathering together the employees that are required to do the work. That collaboration is at the heart of the fourth stage of value, when employees start to explore together what's possible in the organization and find new ways of working. So when you look carefully, there's value everywhere in a Yama message.
So the key point here is if we start to think about the strategic value that we want collaboration in our organization to create, and we start to think about the value to an individual user, we need to be able to match those two up. Because we're talking about doing work here, people are as interested in what's the value to the company as they are as what's the value to me. And the way you realize that value, and we'll talk about this in detail in the rest of the presentation, is through the bottom three boxes. What are the communities that you need to connect together in groups, in conversations and interactions across the network? What is the collaborative work in your organization that will drive the strategic value you want to create, and how do you capture and measure that value? And it's a very important process for organizations to make this definition before they launch too far into the Yammer journey, because shaping your network around an intentional set of communities to realize strategic value is the key step to driving the network forward. We'll come back to this approach later, and I'll break each of these steps down as we look at some things you can do to drive networks based upon our experience. But now what I'd like to do is hand over to Kai to talk about some Yammer benchmarking studies that they've done at Swoop Analytics.
Hey, how are you doing? Simon and I, we actually live in Australia. I live in Sydney and Simon lives in Melbourne. And there's some funny way, I grew up in Denmark, but we have funny ways of saying things. Have you any of you been to Australia? Hands up. So when we greet people, we say, hey, how are you going? And it's kind of like a mix of how are you doing and where are you going? I'm not sure why we do that, but I'll greet you and say, hey, how are you going? I am a co-founder of Swoop Analytics, and we look at the quantitative side of what's happening on networks like Yammer. And want to share you just a really few things about what we learned from our global Yammer benchmarking study. So we had about 24, 25 organizations that have contributed data to our benchmarking database, and we've got about 150,000 users that we've looked at. And there's a couple of things that have come from this benchmarking study, and one key point that I wanted to go through with you today. Now, before I go through the actual what that is, I want to share with you some insights from that Google have also worked on, because Google has always been looking at everything that happens within their organization, and they also have a very data-driven way of looking at collaboration. So, what I wanted to share with you is this article that was published back in February this year that I would encourage you to have a look at. And they were really trying to find out what are the collaboration patterns of high-performing teams. So surely there must be something when we have a good look at how people collaborate that we can take from that. And in a disappointing way, there was really only two things that they came up with. There was no real common traits of high-performing teams. But what they found were two things. That members spoke in roughly same proportion. So this is about taking turn in conversation. So right here, this is not a high-performing team because I'm doing the talking and you're not saying much, at least not right now. So we're not really a team at the moment, right? The other thing that they found was this point around social sensitivity. So we are alert and we are aware of what people are doing. So that those two things. Now, so what we're looking at, what we can look from a data perspective, is certainly the first bullet point. This thing about taking turn in conversation. How many of you were at Pavan's Yammer roadmap talk here the other day? Hands up. All right, so there's a few of you here. And Pavan, you are in the audience, is that right? You're sitting in the back row. Now, Pavan had a slide up where he talked about the two different ways in which you can use Yammer. One was to think of it as more like, a distribution list, a way of getting content out to people. And the other one that leads to more business transformation is when we start to have conversations, when we engage with each other. And Pavan talked about having two-way relationships, two-way conversations. So what we did was we looked at lots of groups on Yammer. And what we want to find out is the extent to which these groups have two-way interactions. And that's represented by the blue lines here. So they're sorted from those groups that have very high level of two-way interactions and then to the one that have very little two-way interaction. The other thing we looked at is to find out, well, how active is the group? Just how much activity is going on? How many posts and likes? We were probably assuming that that would be a correlation between these two. But as you can see, the two don't go together. So you can have groups that are exactly as the one you saw on Pavan's slide, for those of you who were there, that are very, very active, that lots of stuff going on. But it's not conversation. It's more like, as we're seeing now, some people posting, but there's not a two-way conversation happening. So when you're looking at, so one of the things I guess we learned from deep diving into this is that you've got to be very careful of looking at activity on its own right to judge whether or not conversation is happening in the network. The other thing we looked at was there are people tend to fall into different categories. So we'd like to classify them by their behavioral style. So we got observers. I could have called them being antisocial, I suppose. But, you know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and just call them observers, and let's hope they actually are observing. So they're not really participating on the network. We found another very sort of clear profile that we call the broadcasters that are really, and I'm sure just by the name, you can probably figure out what sort of personality that represents. What we found was that about 24% fall into the non-observers, if you like. So 24% across all about 150,000 people fell into these broadcaster, responder, catalyst, or engager. The question is then, if you've got 24% that are doing something, then there's a large proportion that are not doing something. What is the right number? I don't know. We had a conversation about this earlier today, and some of you had some thoughts about, you know, what should we aim for? Is there one single right number? There's probably not.
I think the answer, and it's something that's often been discussed in the communities, like the Microsoft Tech community, is that there's no right answer. It actually depends upon the strategy of your organization and the culture of collaboration you have in the organization. But I actually take inspiration from the way Microsoft's positioning collaboration in the Office suite. If you think of Yammer collaboration as a work tool, it's about getting the work done in your organization. You recognize that everyone works in slightly different ways. You should be hoping that there's a majority of your users using that tool to interact with other people. You know, something over 50% is a good outcome, maybe 60%, because everyone's usage will be different, but the kinds of levels that many organizations face around, you know, the 1-9-90 Wikipedia rule, you know, 1% of people creating the content, 9% editing it on Yammer networks tend to be higher, that perhaps in the 20% range or upwards. Organizations should be aiming for a level of adoption that will really drive the strategic value of working in different ways. And that's the key concept that we need to focus on. Your strategy should drive what your adoption targets are, and adoption in itself is not a goal. The goal is to realize the value you want to realize.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've also looked at whether or not Yammer is similar or different to other types of tools, and want to share with you some really interesting insights. Some of this is actually not even new. Back in 1979, I think it was, Professor Tom Allen at MIT did some research within an engineering organization to see whether there was any correlation between how close people are located physically and how much they interact. So it's about you and I, we're sitting sort of relatively close, so there's a good likelihood we'd interact, but with the people at the back, there might be less. Now, what Tom Allen found was this sort of distribution, that the further away we are from someone in a face-to-face setting, the less likely it is that we interact. That's probably not so difficult to get your head around that. Now, he redid this in 2006 and included email. And guess what? He found the same thing. So the people we interact with on email, the majority of those are ones that we actually sitting in close physical proximity to. So we thought in 2016, surely this cannot be true anymore. Surely with all these virtual collaboration tools, this would have changed. So we did the same thing, and guess what? Now we've found the equivalent of like a 10-foot rule. So we looked at more than a million emails over 4 weeks, and we found that nearly half of emails sent and received was to people sitting within, you know, like less than shouting distance. Now, this was face-to-face relationships, emails, same pattern for emails, even in 2016. What about Yammer? The interesting thing about Yammer was that correlation was not there anymore. So Yammer serves a very, very, it's a very unique in a way that you build relationships with people. Think about it, when you post on Yammer, there's not a two, right? With email, with a Skype call, with instant messaging, all those tools actually have someone that you send it to. But with Yammer, it's posted, it's working, mostly it's working out in transparently. So Yammer is truly, what we found, is a truly different kind of tool that allows us to connect people across space. Now, in many organizations, we've also, when we look at how people collaborate within organizations, we often ask, why is it, what is the primary reason why you want tools such as Yammer? And the story we're being told is that, Kai, we want to enable cross-organizational collaboration. We have silos, whether they're around products or geographies or whatever it is. We want to break those down. So we've looked at a lot of different organizations, and there's sort of three key patterns that we're finding that I've sort of simplified like this. One is that Yammer, in the first one, Yammer's been driven by a particular business unit, and that could be internal comms or IT, and they drive all the conversation. So it's being used as a kind of like a distribution list. So a central team will push things out and people react to that. The one in the middle is a little bit different. Here we have a lot of activity going on, but it's all within each of those areas. So again, if you looked at activity alone, you'd say, oh, this is used a lot. But actually, when you look at the patterns, have we enabled cross-organizational collaboration? Maybe not so yet. And the last one is this mixed that all ties back to what Simon was saying in the beginning about what is your strategy really telling you? Where should we find collaboration across which kind of product lines or service lines or geographies? And can we then see that that's happening? I want to give you a very brief little story about this from real life. This is Dean Jones. He's the innovation manager at KFC or Yum Restaurants. And they've implemented Yammer several years ago. And they did it with the purpose of connecting all the people in the various KFC restaurants. Right? That was the key point. And it's being used, from my understanding, discussions with him to enable team members to coordinate rosters and work within the stores. There was also an intent that people could share best practices across the stores. So when you dive into them and see what does it actually look like, you can start to see here that diagonal pattern that I showed before. So we can see that organizations or the various restaurants are talking to each other within, but there's not so much happening across. One of the shading here might be a little bit different to see, but there is one particular area here, and I'll show you through on the other side over here. The regional center is actually one that is active on the network as well. And the role that they're interestingly performing is that they're the ones that are connecting out to all the various restaurants. But as you can see, there's only a little bit of interactivity happening between the restaurants. So what we learned from that is that it's really important to understand, you know, the purpose, the business strategy behind why you're implementing Yammer, the business value you're trying to achieve, and then taking a data-driven approach to seeing whether or not that actually is happening. I like to think of myself as a nerd, but a nerd with a heart, because I'm really passionate about the social relationships that Yammer is enabling.
So we understand we need to start with strategy, and Kai's given us some insights into how Yammer can change the interactions in your organization. Let's look from our experience in various organizations at how you build out that network, how you build out these communities to deliver you that strategic value. So we start with connection, and connection's all about having clarity of purpose and bringing those communities together in the right way. So one thing that the successful organisations I've seen have done is they've trusted their employees more than pieces of paper. Every organization I've met needs to start with a conversation about policy and risk frameworks and security issues around collaboration. Often, the extent of that policy is far more extensive than any other communication tool in the organization. It's one of the reasons why I actually discourage organizations from having a specific Yammer policy. Your Yammer usage should be covered by your internet communications policy, your cloud policies, and other policies. In fact, the behavioral standards you expect in Yammer are the same behavioral standards you should expect in meetings and corridors in your organization. You shouldn't have separate escalation for incidents in Yammer. Why aren't people leaders responsible for the way their people behave in Yammer? If you start to integrate the way Yammer is managed into your work and trust your employees the way you do in every other aspect of their role in Yammer, you're actually setting yourself up for success of this as a key business tool, a key way to drive your organization forward. Importantly, for those of you who are thinking about cost in the room, you're also avoiding a whole bunch of specific Yammer overhead, which you'll have to get your stakeholders to consider in the process. The second point is invest in community management, not just for the launch, but for long term. If you've set up your value case for Yammer and tied it to the strategic priority of your organization, you can approach senior executives with the rationale that your community managers are actually the strategy managers to realize value in your organization. It's your community managers that will get the best out of your Yammer network. Make sure they're not focused on administrative tasks. Make sure they're focused on driving that strategic value and the new work patterns that you're looking for out of the network. And tying the value that's created by better ways of working collaboration to the investment in community managers is the way to make sure your organization understands community managers need to stay around. Across the organizations I've seen too many people who invested up front because launch looked new and different and exciting. And then after a while, organizations being organization, the efficiency agenda takes over and community management resources start to decline. Focus on the effectiveness opportunity by working in better ways. Invest to realize better effectiveness and new ways of working. And the organizations that are succeeding are actually expanding behind this and thinking about how they spread community management to key champions across the organization. One of the fabulous things about Yammer is the minute you start to use it, your most passionate users will identify themselves. There will be people in the first week who are up, this is fabulous, what can we do to grow this? I've got an idea of how I can use this. Engage with those users. Organizations can connect with those users and invite them to join the challenge of making value out of the network. When I worked at NAB, we had very limited resources to support our network. What we did was we ran a monthly meeting of the key champions in the organization, and we worked with them to make sure they helped us with setting the tone and standard of communication and behavior in the network. They help new users understand how to get value, what the tools were, and how they could be used. And importantly, they were responsible for connecting people when someone couldn't find the right group or couldn't find a person who could help them with the scenario. Your champions can play a critical role, and they play a critical role not just in your Yammer network, but also taking your Yammer network out to the rest of the organization. Champions are great advocates and should be leveraged. An example of an organisation that's leveraging champions in this way is Oricon. It's an Australian engineering services organisation, and this company has a challenge that engineering services are rapidly being digitised. What they wanted to do was really take their digital transformation to the next level. And so Jennifer Frame, who's a change manager in the organisation working with the digital team, put out a post on Yammer calling for digital champions to come forward and identify themselves. And the post on the right-hand side you can see is Jennifer sharing information, inviting that community to take action and work in the organization to drive the digital transformation forward. So what you're seeing here is someone taking a piece of work in the organization, moving the digital agenda forward, and inviting people in the organization through Yammer to get engaged and drive that forward. So what we're starting to see is people move beyond the hierarchy and look for the wirarchy. The wirarchy is a concept developed by John Husband, who's in the photo there. And John refers to the wirarchy as a dynamic two-way flow of power and authority based on knowledge, trust, credibility, and a focus of results enabled by interconnected people and technology. With that wirarchy definition in mind, I looked at the Office 365 roadmaps we've seen, and I could just see all those elements there on the map. You know, they talk about trust and artificial intelligence and groups to bring people together. So when you're implementing these networks in your organization, don't just think about the hierarchical teams. They're easy to find. Start to think about some of the other things. Follow processes along and understand who are the people who need to get together in groups to add value to that process. What are the projects that you can pull together and have them work collaboratively in this solution? How do communities of practice come together? Communities of practice are one of the highest value opportunities in organisations, because your continuous improvement team that's sharing lean techniques and wants to build advocacy of lean across the organisation, your agile community that's trying to foster agile broadly across the organisation, these are engaged groups that come together and have real work purposes to engage and share. So here's an example of a team at work. A colleague of mine, Susan Skrupski, recently coordinated a project to develop a movie around domestic violence and new policing approaches to domestic violence in the United States. And what you can see here is all the aspects of that team, a diverse creative team across multiple organizations coming together in Yammer to collaborate in different teams and parts of the process. On the right-hand side, sharing documents that are relevant. You've got the messaging to stay in touch. What you're seeing there is that dynamic of work actually getting done in a coordinated way in the network. So the key concept in this connect phase is, how do you bridge the gaps between teams and individuals in your organization so that you can start to realize the value of better flows of information? Because what you're trying to do is build relationships, but you don't just want your relationships to exist in your collaboration solution. What you're going to find is people start meetups because they've connected online. People use Yammer to know people in remote offices and get in touch face-to-face. Coffee catch-ups happen. All of this connection is fostering that trust that underlies more effective communication in your organisation. And it also builds a context which is really important to success. So we all know we can share information in a Yammer network. And in fact, most of your organisations know exactly what you want to share with employees at all times. The question is, how do you make sharing by your employees easy? Sharing at them is one thing. Them sharing with each other is the key. So successful organisations are getting as many of the barriers out of the way. You know, Yammer's done a fantastic job of enabling the mobile apps and giving organisations control over the security. We've heard about the move to parity. Busy workers, remote workers need to be able to connect and use and make the most of these networks. Give your employees clear rationales of what you'd like them to share and how to make the value that you're looking for in strategy come to life. And one of the key practices is working out loud. I spoke last night about working out loud in Office 365, and I'm speaking again on Friday morning. Working out loud's a key practice to encourage in the culture of your organization. The key part of working out loud is its purposeful sharing of work in progress. What you want to see is people sharing ideas, then drafts, then final documents for feedback, because bringing stakeholders into the conversation around work as it's happening increases the chance of better information being relevant and being there when it's needed, better ideas being contributed to the process, and importantly, it also allows other people to learn by watching. It's a critical concept. So culturally, you need to think about, how do you create generosity? How do you enable a growth mindset, a little bit of ability to fail and learn and test and grow? These are key cultural changes you need to support. We've seen through the Office 365 roadmap that algorithms are going to start surfacing in our work and sharing it with our colleagues. You know, that's the power that Microsoft's bringing to this stack. The question is, are our people ready for this change? And so working out loud's coming whether we like it or not. The best thing we can do is help our people to understand the practices and approaches that will enable them to work out loud effectively. We all, you know, key concept, and one that's a bit scary for traditional organisations to handle, is a good solid debate beats an announcement. Communications teams often get concerned when they start down this journey. You put the first announcement out, and guess what? Employees want to clarify it. They want to understand it. They want to challenge it. They may even want to have a full-on Barney about it. That is Australian colloquialism for a fight. The point being, all of that activity in Yammer is actually helping your organisation move forward. People only ask questions because they don't understand. People only have contrary views because they don't share the same context or share the same understanding. Yammer can play a fabulous job in terms of strategic alignment. An organisation that's doing this incredibly well is TK Shipping. Jonathan Anthony is leading the communications team and marketing team at TK. He's an absolute Yammer guru. TK was the first ever implementation of Yammer as an intranet. So they don't have any other intranet solution. They use all their conversations are using the Yammer as that intranet. And what you're seeing in this slide is work that the communications and marketing team is doing on the culture at TK. And all those pictures on that poster board have been sourced out of conversations with the entire organisation of TK delivered through the Yammer network. So Jonathan and his team go out and engage the entire network and bring up things that then they incorporate into marketing and communication materials for the organisation. They've absolutely got that dynamic two-way flow occurring in the organisation. If we look at how work can drive value for your organisation in Yammer, here are some of the easiest things you can do. Have conversations about your organisational strategy. Improve strategic alignment. You ask any CEO and the biggest concern they've got is we know what our strategy is, but we're not sure that our organisation does. We're not sure that everyone's pulling their weight to the strategy. Fantastic opportunity to use a tool like Yammer to have conversations around work about how it connects to the strategic of the value of the organisation. Duplicate work disappears when people are working out loud. Organisations I've worked with always see people put their hand up and say, I'm starting a project to build X, and someone else jumps in and says, I've already built it, or I've done the planning, or here's a design. There's work that you can just eliminate immediately. And that also relates to that reuse point. The key points at the bottom there is about creating accountability to fix broken processes and policy and improve your organisation for its customers and other stakeholders. Creating that debate between the product team and the sales team or the service team and operations about whether you're truly delivering the solutions you need is a really key point in terms of the value you can create. And that work then starts to flow into some of those richer and more creative ways of working. So communities of practice we've talked about, finding and engaging experts in your organisation. A lot of organisations think they know they're experts, but what happens is employees join your organisation with secret talents. And Yammer work is a great way to start to draw out those talents. We saw in the NAB network, as an example, employees volunteer that they had PhDs in areas of interest of other parts of the organisation that had career changes, but they had fantastic value that they could add. And deepening the transparency of the organisation is a key way to advance better ways of working and fostering that leadership and autonomy in every role. If you can see all the work going on, you can actually trust your employees far more deeply. You can engage in work early and prevent those kinds of challenges that you have when work goes off and people are disconnected. So one of my colleagues, Catherine Shinners, works with organisations in change management, bringing this kind of focus on community into helping organisations with large-scale change, using network approaches, you know, broadening the learning, bringing people to do the work of the change together in groups in Yammer, and really fostering that cultural transformation, peer learning, and working out loud all at the same time, and giving management an overview of all of that transformation that's occurring as it occurs. Phenomenally powerful way to move forward. And what we're talking about here in the solve phase is enabling employees everywhere in your organisation to solve problems. So Yammer's the tool, but you need the culture and the interactions and the strategic rationale that people can say, my process is broken. I need the help of the process team to make that work for our customers. And I've got the rationale to drive that forward. And I've got the ability to put my hand up and ask for help. And people will come because they value the fact that I've raised this problem. Critical to the success and really the effectiveness value that can be created in Yammer. So what we're talking here is this idea of network accountability. We know what our hierarchical accountabilities are. But we know hierarchies often break down when two divisions aren't perfectly aligned, when processes cross hierarchies and there are different KPIs and different things. Yammer provides an avenue for your organisation to have a conversation about those breakpoints, to create new dynamics of accountability. Reputation is a phenomenally powerful thing in your organisation. Very few people, one of the reasons organisations struggle to gain adoption is people are worried about their reputation. If you can make your Yammer networks a source of a positive reputation, an opportunity for people to show that they're helpful, customer-focused, they're delivering positive outcomes, you're going to drive much greater value than if your network's just seen as a place to improve your performance rating. So let's think about how we can really take Yammer to the next level and use Yammer as part of a conversation about innovation. So we need to give people the freedom to experiment. The successful organisation using Yammer are really opening up that avenue. They're connecting the use of Yammer to practices like design thinking, agile, and their innovation agenda. They're actually giving people the opportunity to ideate, to prototype, to design, and then ultimately to implement things. Pilot, learn from that pilot, pivot or persevere. They're starting to bring that dynamic into the way they do work. And that also involves some of the big, hairy, complex, systemic issues that organisations have. If your organisation's more than a few hundred people, there will be things that people know are broken that have always been broken, or things that are too hard, or too challenging, or management won't deal with. There are opportunities for Yammer to contribute to those solutions. A fabulous example here is Sanofi Pasteur. Celine Schillinger is an executive at Sanofi. Many years ago, she realised there was a challenge in that organisation around gender diversity. Sanofi had ambitions to improve its gender diversity, but wasn't creating the traction that they wanted. And what Celine did was she created a network called Women in Sanofi Pasteur. The acronym was WISP. If you search for that on the network, there's great case studies that are available. And what they did was they brought together women and allies and others in Sanofi Pasteur and actually started to change the conversation about gender diversity in Sanofi Pasteur. This started with an individual executive. This wasn't a strategic initiative. This started with an individual gathering a group, creating a movement, and eventually that became an initiative that was embraced at the highest levels in Sanofi Pasteur, and they've won awards for it, and it's now the way they approach gender diversity through a community approach to drive diversity in the organisation. So having done that, Celine wondered what next she could contribute to the organisation. And being a pharmaceutical company, Sanofi and its regulators are obsessed with quality. So Sanofi Pasteur now has a quality network focused on building a movement for change around greater quality in their factories, in their design teams, across the entire organisation, empowering users to drive quality and transform the organisation. Amazing results have been achieved in the first year. The results are so staggering that Sanofi recently had a pharmaceutical regulator inspect one of its plants. And the year-on-year change was so great that the regulator said, "What have you done? We've never seen a change like this." Because what Sanofi's been able to do, using a community-based approach, working on quality in Yammer, is actually take it down to the shop floor level, engage the people who know what's broken, get them to make suggestions, them to identify the issues, raise those issues to people who need to be involved in driving change. And really, they're not driving a Yammer network there. They're driving a movement to transform the quality of their organisation. The collaboration that happens in Yammer and Office 365 is just underpinning and powering that. And obviously, there's a very dedicated change management strategy and a real clear business outcome that they're using to take that to the next level. So that's what we wanted to share with you today. I'm very happy to take questions if anyone has any questions. If you can move to one of the microphones, because this session's being recorded.
Many of the people you've heard about here, Simon and I as well, we're all in the Office 365 network. And I've been given by the network guys a whole bunch of little gifts. So if you want to have a little transformer thing, you can come up afterwards here and get it from us.
So please join us in the Microsoft tech community for the rest of your life. So that we can have conversations about this, because we're very happy to continue to share. But please, your question.
Well, first of all, thank you for the wonderful presentation. 6 years before, we started using Yammer at Capgemini, and we never had any vision at that time of strategy. But only one sentence we had was, and still it is there, it's collaborate, connect, and share on business-related activities. And since last 6 years, it is working in a very best way, I would say. I must say that we have a Yammer usage policy, but there's no Yammer strategy. This is how it's working currently. So my question is around the Yammer strategy. So according to you, what could be a best Yammer strategy, or which five things fitted in a Yammer strategy?
Yep. No, thanks for the question. Great question. And Capgemini is an amazing case study of how to leverage Yammer as well. What I focus on for organisations is keep it simple. So can you define very simply for a senior executive in the organisation what the strategic rationale, what benefits collaboration will deliver to the organisational strategy? You should be able to say how collaboration is going to influence the organisational strategy, and you should be able to say to a user what they'll get out of using Yammer more, and how their work will be more effective. And then, what communities do you want to see, what information do you want to share, and what work do you want to do to make that happen? What I do with organisations is I have an hour and a half workshop where I run through those questions, and we map it all on a canvas, and we actually leave the organisation with the strategy on a really simple canvas so that they can see that. It becomes an artefact they share in the network, and they continue to evolve and develop. Canvases are agile. It's not a long 60-page strategy document. It's a lightweight canvas. And that is also the power of the connect, share, solve, and innovate approach, is that's language you can actually take down to an individual user. You're not talking about things that have to remain in corporate office. So many of the organisations I've worked with actually send that canvas to a business unit as well with a copy of the corporate canvas, and the business unit then does the same exercise for their teams. What you're doing there is you're cascading down through the hierarchy and looking for those places where there's value in teams and business units across the organisation. And that's a very simple way, based around a few questions, to identify that strategy and leverage that value. Any other questions? Sorry, yes.
Yes. Do you have any organizations that want to effectively police what's being said in Yammer, you know, prevent the terminated employee from getting on there and saying, you know, double fingers, I hate this place, you know, anything like that?
Every organization starts there. So everyone's obsessed with especially if you've never seen a Yammer network, it's really easy, based upon external social media examples, to dream of what might happen. My experience is that if you have a good culture in your organisation of accountability, none of that ever happens. Because if you've got good exit procedures, you don't leave the employee who's been terminated with access to the network anyway. But most of the circumstances I've seen, the worst issues you see are misunderstandings. And in fact, the power of Yammer is that Yammer resolves those misunderstandings because it gives people the ability to share enough context and sort out the issues. Thanks.
Thank you.
When you start a new Yammer network, do you feel like you have to seed ideas for how it should be used, or do you just kind of let people do whatever and then maybe, you know, offer suggestions after the fact?
Well, I guess the approach that I'm outlining here is one that's very intentional. So what I'm suggesting is you should go in with a plan about who you want to bring together, what information you want to see shared between them, and how that's going to change the way they work. So I'm all about seeding, not necessarily heavy-handed. At the opposite end of the spectrum, I met one organisation that had 5 authorised use cases for Yammer. It was frighteningly deliberate. You know, it was narrowing down, actually, the potential value that could be created. I believe if you seed it, great things will grow around it, because one of the things here is users in the organisation need to make sense. If you give them role models early in the life of Yammer, they learn from those role models, and that's what gets copied. One organisation I know didn't implement any seeding. The most vibrant group they got in the first month was a cat fancier group, because a senior executive happened to have a passion for a cat and shared extensive photos, and everyone thought this was a great way to engage with the senior executive. So they got a very, very vibrant cat fancy group. It actually had a negative impact on the adoption of Yammer in the organisation, that was the dominant group in the earliest phases of its life.
And that was going to be my second question. Do you have to fight the you know, essentially the notion of a corporate Facebook?
I'm explicitly saying, and I think you don't get the value of work out of this unless you describe this as a work tool. So I would say to people, I don't use the word Facebook ever in relation to Yammer. So I know people refer to corporate Facebook, and this is a different tool. If you've looked at the roadmap, this is a completely different tool that's about how people work more effectively. And so what you want is users to understand that. Absolutely. You should have interest groups and social collaboration, because that's a great way for people to build connection and context with each other that then benefits the rest of the network. But you want them doing most of their time in things that are about the strategic value of the organisation. Because guess what? They've got Facebook on their phone anyway. If they want to chat to their friends, that's a better place for that conversation. Okay. Thank you. Right.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I was wondering if you could clarify the difference between sort of a network manager, a community manager, and I think that the other word you used was the, pardon me here, you use another, you describe another role, and I can't remember.
So let me talk about that,
yeah,
that territory then.
So I
think an organization should have someone who's responsible for creating the business value in Yammer. Most organizations have that as either a head of collaboration or a community manager. I really like it to be explicit in that person's role description that their focus is creating that business value. Because otherwise, to be honest, organisations, if you talk about we're a community manager, senior executives get bored a little bit down the journey and they start to think about efficiency savings in community managers. Oh, well, we'll go part-time, or you can manage community across multiple tools, and all of a sudden that investment in realising the strategic value is lost. To be honest, the terminology is not as important as the person's clear on what they need to deliver and the organisation's clear on what that person's role is. And that's where I work with organisations to make sure there's a clear story for the organisation around why we're building Yammer into the work culture of the organisation and what people are doing to foster it. So I would encourage organisations to invest in that resource to drive the value and then build a network of volunteer users, the champions, who work across business units to help do that. So champions, it's not their job. It's a part-time thing they do because they're passionate about Yammer, and you'll find them. I think we'll take one more question and then we're done.
Having all these communication tools, today we find a problem getting people to Yammer.
Mm-hmm.
Once they are in the system, it's okay. Maybe key champions can help and so on. But the problem today is how we get people to get this tool as the main tool for them.
Yeah.
So have you faced this in...
Yep. Okay. So I began with this problem because when I started working with Yammer, it wasn't part of the Microsoft world. It was an independent company. So, you know, you had to convince people to log into their browser and go there. The organization I worked with and other organizations ultimately worked out ways to have the Yammer page auto-open when people opened up their browser as a second tab. You know, things like that to try and make it more accessible. Obviously, with the product suite that's now available from Microsoft, accessibility is a much bigger thing. It's easier to get to. It can be found in much more of the world. I think the key point for everyone is what's their reason to go there? And the clearer you are about the reason for a user to go there, the more effectively that'll happen. So thank you very much.
We should also say that we're running another talk called Engaging the C-Suite. On Yammer that we're doing, and you're more than welcome to join us there. I'm also doing another session on Yammer and analytics that you're welcome to join as well. But thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, everyone.